Let's open our Bibles today to Romans chapter 16. We're going to read verse 25, 26, and 27. And this will be the fourth doxology in the Epistle to the Romans. You'll remember that we're going through the doxologies of the New Testament and that there are 17 of them. Four in the Epistle to the Romans, we saw in chapter 1, connection with God's power and creation as a witness to the Gentile nations. And there his divine power, his divine attributes as creator are brought before us. And the apostle gives an expression of praise, a doxology. Then in chapter 9, he speaks of the privileges of the people of Israel, their covenants, the adoption, the glory. But ending with the wonderful revelation of Christ, who come according to the flesh from the seed of David, from the people of Israel, and that he's eternally blessed God over all. And then we have the doxology. And then at chapter 11, at the end, after he's been looking at God's dispensational purposes in the call of the Gentiles being grafted in as a wild olive branch into the olive tree, into the promises that were there of salvation, and that Israel has been temporarily set aside but will be brought back in the future. And then he speaks of God's wonderful wisdom and knowledge and who has counseled him. No one. It was his purpose from the beginning. And then the apostle closes with this that section of Romans with a doxology. Now, those are the first three in Romans. Now we have the fourth doxology in the Epistle to Romans. Let's just read it. I'm reading from the King James Bible. You may want to have a Derby Bible or a ESV or New American Standard or even New King James for one particular expression here at least. Anyway, so verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish or establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, or by the prophetic scriptures, that should be translated, not the scriptures of the prophets, but by the prophetic scriptures, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. There's our doxology. It concludes the whole epistle with this doxology, but it's connected with the revelation of the mystery. So, what does all this mean? Well, Paul, in the Epistle to the Romans, of course, he opens up really the foundational truths of the gospel. It's his great manifesto of the gospel, the truth of justification, the fact that we have been reckoned righteous through the finished work of Christ, through his death and through his resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, that we're saved on the wonderful principle of faith alone, sola fide, faith alone in that work of the finished work of Christ. That alone is what justifies us, not works. And so this is revealed to us in the first eight chapters of Romans. In fact, actually the first five chapters of Romans. And then from chapter 6 on, or in the middle of chapter 5 on, really, to chapter 6, 7, and 8, it's dealing more with practical sanctification, that is for victory and deliverance in our walk. Now that we have been justified, how can we live rightly? Should we continue in sin? God forbid. But there is a way of victory in our life as Christians. So he keeps these two things distinct, our justification from our sanctification, connected but distinct. One follows the other. And then, of course, chapter 9 to 11, he's dealing with the subject of Israel. Chapter 9, Israel's past. Chapter 10, Israel's present. Chapter 11, Israel's future. God has not cast off his people forever. But the concluding chapters of Romans, chapter 12 to now chapter 16, there's practical exhortations. And this is always the apostle's way. First, he gives the doctrine, he gives the truth, and then the practical applications flowing from that. Someone said, the indicative is first and the imperative follows. So now, as we come after at the end, towards the end here of Romans 16, and he's been giving salutations and greetings to the saints in Rome. He's concluding, and he speaks in verse 25 again of that gospel that has the power to establish us. He speaks of that, I believe, in chapter 1 as well, verse 11. Same word, that it's the power that can establish us, this gospel. He calls it my gospel. According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, this mystery, it's according to this mystery, but the gospel itself is not entirely or exactly the mystery. It's according to the mystery. The mystery, Paul actually doesn't bring out in Romans. He brings out the mystery in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. We'll turn to that in a minute. But this mystery that was kept secret since the beginning of the ages, since from the beginning or before the beginning of the world, secret since the world began, the way the apostle actually words it here. But a mystery in the New Testament sense of the word is not like the way we use it, like something that is sort of mysterious or like a novel, a mystery novel. We don't know who done it until we get to the end. That's not totally the idea. It's something that has been hidden. It's been hidden in the past, but now God has revealed it. But he's revealed it not to all. He's revealed to those to whom he has revealed it to the initiated, to those who he has chosen. And so it's the Christian church to whom the mystery is revealed. It was not made known in Old Testament times. Now, salvation, just simple salvation, that the Gentiles would be saved, that was known in the Old Testament times. You can read many verses from the prophets which speak of salvation that would go out to the Gentiles. In fact, the Apostle Paul quotes many of these verses in Galatians, Romans, and so on, that it was God's purpose also to save the Gentiles, to save people out from among the Gentiles. And so that's not the mystery exactly. The mystery flows from that, but the mystery now has been brought out, has been revealed. And I like what Mr. William Kelly says about that when it comes to the mystery. What comes out last in Revelation, that is, what is revealed last in God's counsels, is always first in his purpose. So it was first, before the foundation of the world, before the world began, God had this purpose that he would unite both Jew and Gentile into one body. And this one body would be known as the Christ. That's how he terms it in 1 Corinthians. Not that the body of Christ is not divine. That's not what he's saying. But it's a part of the completeness of the Christ. The head is in heaven, and the body is on earth, and that those from amongst the Jews and amongst the Gentiles would lose their national distinction, and that this body, this one new man, as he terms it in Ephesians chapter 2, is beyond physical, geographical, ethnic, historic boundaries altogether, and they're taken out from among these and put in this one body, this one new man, linked by the Holy Spirit with their head, risen head, and glorified head in heaven, the Holy Spirit coming down upon the earth, baptizing them into one body, linking them together. We are one spirit with the Lord. We're connected with him. This is the mystery, the revelation of the mystery of Christ and the church. This is what he speaks about in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I want to point out here, in a special way, verse 26, where it says, "But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets." First of all, he says, but now. And that tells us that previously, of course, according to a mystery, it had been hidden. But now has been revealed. And the King James has, by the scriptures of the prophets. And that reading that translation, we might think he's referring to the Old Testament prophets. But Paul's not referring to the Old Testament prophets here. The ESV translates it this way, through the prophetic writings. Through the prophetic writings, the New King James and Darby translation have by the prophetic scriptures. And the prophetic scriptures, or the prophetic writings that Paul's referring to here, are the New Testament prophetic writings. from Paul himself, and from John, and from Peter, from the apostles. These apostles and New Testament prophets revealed this mystery to us. Not the Old Testament. Jeremiah didn't speak about it. Isaiah didn't speak about it. Hosea didn't speak about it. Ezekiel didn't speak about it. But it's the New Testament prophetic writings. Now, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, you'll see this. If you look at verse 3, Paul says, how that by revelation, special revelation, he made known unto me, that is unto Paul, the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, or the mystery of the Christ, which in other ages, now there it is, which in other ages, i.e. in the Old Testament times, the Old Covenant times, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. These prophets are the New Testament prophets. Okay, so this is exactly what we have in Romans chapter 16. Although Paul doesn't bring out all the details in Romans, he's stating it in Romans. Here we get the details more of it in Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 3. I can't go into all the details of it, but just the what I've already mentioned, verse 6 of Ephesians 3, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Okay, so these things have been now brought out. We get in verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things. So this aspect of the mystery was hidden in God, was not made known to the Old Testament prophets, but now is revealed to the New Testament apostles and prophets. And so we go back to Romans chapter 16. Paul just mentions it, by the way. He speaks of the gospel, his gospel, my gospel, he says in verse 25, and that it's according to the revelation of the mystery. In other words, it's the foundation of the mystery. It's connected with the mystery, but the mystery involves more than just this, because the Old Testament prophets spoke of salvation for the Gentiles. But what they didn't reveal is that amongst these Gentiles, they would be made, along with the Jews, into one body, one new man joined to their head in heaven. Now, after the rapture of the church, okay, we go back to the older form where we have the distinction again between Gentile and Jew on the earth, and there will be salvation in the Great Tribulation. The Jewish remnant will be saved. There will be many saved from about amongst the Gentiles. You see that in Revelation chapter 7, a great multitude that were taken out of the Great Tribulation that no man could number. But they're not made members of the assembly, of the body of Christ, okay? But they are saved. There's not two ways of salvation. There's only one way of salvation. People misrepresent dispensational truth when they speak of the fact that we purportedly teach two ways of salvation. We don't. There's only one way of salvation. It's always been by grace through faith. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham was justified by faith, reckoned righteous by faith, and so on. And then he concludes with this doxology, verse 27, to God only wise. God is wise, and he has his ways, his purposes, right? And it's for ours to believe and obey. We get that at the end of verse 26, for the obedience of faith. True faith is obedient. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mediator. He brings it all about. He's the instrument here, the instrumental power forever. All glory to God will be through Jesus Christ. So may the Lord encourage you today as you meditate on these doxologies. And next time we'll take up another doxology to meditate upon. The Lord bless you today. Amen.